think so. Christy, disclosure initiative.
Yes. So this is agenda reference 11, and we will start off the session with, it's basically an ed session with agenda paper 11A, and we just want to give you an update on what we've been doing with the disclosure initiative. I think we last came to you or gave you an update or overview in September, and because the disclosure initiative is made up of a number of streams, sometimes it's a bit difficult to keep track of what's been done. So if I take you to slide 2 of that paper, this gives you an overview of the disclosure initiative, and I hope it's familiar to you. We try and give this with most of our cover papers just to remind you of the different aspects of the disclosure initiative. Oh, yeah. I think the major addition from the paper that we presented in September is the inclusion of a short-term step regarding disclosures about debt, and Michelle will be bringing a paper to you just after the one on materiality now. So I'll take you through what we're doing on each of these streams in the next slide. So if I move to slide 3, this is what we're calling our stream on new EDs and digital reporting. And I think this is an ongoing activity, so it's not something which we view as short-term or medium-term. I think the major developments here are the inclusion of the IFRS taxonomy team or XBRL team into the disclosure initiative. And I'll take any questions at any point.
Can you tell us more about, in practice, how that works? I think it's you, Alan, would need that. We talk about disclosure requirements all the time, but we never, when we talk about it here, we never talk about taxonomy and XBRL. So how do we make sure that what we propose doesn't create problems to the taxonomy team, also because we don't get much feedback from you guys about.
I was actually going to cover that just as you say. I suppose so. That integration recognises the importance of electronic reporting in the provision of information or IFRS financial information. And I see that the integration into the technical side, recognising that the way that IFRS are applied in practice can, you know, needs to be, or influences the way that they're used and assessed. So in terms of standard setting and how the team and the taxonomy is integrating or sort of influencing how standards are set, I think as standards are developed and disclosure requirements are developed, technical staff do liaise with staff in the IFRS taxonomy team, and in particular Bartek, and I think that feedback has been very positive. I think the way that the IFRS taxonomy team think about disclosures and the precision and the actual overall knowledge of the disclosures means that actually that feedback does develop quite a good conversation around the real information that's being tried to be achieved from that disclosure piece.
Take an example. Earlier this week we discussed about leasing having the qualitative disclosures on the conditions surrounding a lease contract. And that is a bit undefined. It's a general. How would that translate into XBRL taxonomy?
As a block tag, usually a text tag, normally. So they only get, the more specific our disclosure requirements are, and particularly when it's numerical, the more then they'll tag at that level. But when it's qualitative, generally it's more of a text block.
If it's generally just descriptive and there's no amounts within that that disclosure, then it would be a block tag. But then again, what we have seen is the use of what we call dimensions, so that you can almost tabularize, if you want to say risk, a disclosure about risk, and one of the disclosures you required is to describe by type of risk your management activities. You actually, if you think about that technology, that could be tabularized, and that's the way that you might model that in the taxonomy. So it gives you a sort of a clear picture of actually maybe you might disclose information about risks across a number of things. It might be financial instruments, it might be leases, it might be something else. It gives you sort of a sense of comparability and consistency across quite a number of disclosures. So that's sort of an example where that kind of thinking, I think, can provide some sort of benefit when you're actually creating or drafting a disclosure. But I think there's another aspect that we've been working on, and the conceptual framework team has had the benefit of this, is that Andy has some expertise in ontology, which is sort of description of terms and concepts and relationships between them. And we found that thinking's been very useful, again, about being very clear about the language that's used in standards. And we think that interaction can also continue. In terms of due process, though, again, Philippe, this maybe goes to what you were saying about how maybe is that more visible to you and to the public about how that interaction works. And what we are proposing to take is a paper to the trustees in April regarding the due process for the IFRS taxonomy and the components of the IFRS taxonomy, which we call the content, which relates or specifically try to reflect IFRS requirements, we think should be part of the or aligned to the ISB standard due process for setting standards. So that eventually we would hope, in an accessible way, to bring you a description or some sort of document which visualises how we're going to model a disclosure requirement in the taxonomy. So I think that will need some education to go with it, and we have to make sure the documentation is something that, you know, I can understand, that you can understand, but that would be our ultimate sort of long-term view. I think that's the major thing on that we've developed here in terms of new EDs. I think ultimately we'd also like to be able to set some processes or best practices guide about what to think about when setting disclosures, but that's something more in the thinking stage at the moment. So if I move to slide 4, which is about amendments to IS1, and that's got nice tangible what we've done. We're expecting to issue or publish the ED on the focus amendments to IS1 next Tuesday. That's going to cover some amendments regarding materiality, order of the notes, and accounting policies. So I don't think there's much more to say on that. I think we're expecting, when are we expecting comments back by for that?
23rd of July.
23rd of July, so we'll be bringing something back in most probably Q3. So on to slide 5, which is about the broader project on materiality. Now, I won't talk too much about this slide and the next slide because that's what the next two papers are regarding. But primarily, we see this project as being about understanding how the concept of materiality is being applied and trying to make it better. And it's not just about reducing the amount of disclosures, it's also making them more effective. So if there is something to be disclosed because it is material but is not required, we'd also hope that this project would address that issue as well. But I'll leave, there'll be more detail about that in the next paper. So if I move to slide 6, which is changes in debt. And this project stems from a view or a call from some investors that they want the ISB to reduce or introduce a requirement for entity to disclose their net debt. And we originally brought a request or a discussion of that topic as part of our amendments to IS1 project. And I think that was in October. At that meeting, we decided it was broader than a narrow focus amendment and needed more work. We've undertaken some further work and have some proposals, and that's what Michelle will speak to in the agenda paper 11C. The next stream is on slide 7, which is the research project on our principles of disclosure, and we refer to that now as the POD project, easy to say. So we think this is a medium-term project and perhaps I think the most ambitious part of the disclosure initiative. And I think in this project we want to explore whether we can set a set of principles or develop a set of principles which will cover both disclosure and presentation that may ultimately replace IS 1, 7 and 8. And I think we'd wish to take from that some of the aspects of the FSP project where we think the relationships and the principles are interchanged with those for disclosure in the notes. I think this project we have to work very closely, and we are working very closely with the conceptual framework team. Ultimately, we expect that the conceptual framework will set principles around presentation and disclosure, which we will then need to expand from. And I think we will need to make sure that if there's any areas that they don't cover, and we have a sense that people are wanting us to cover in this idea of a disclosure framework, that we do seek to try and either at least consider them as part of this project. I think, again, this project will be, you'll hear a lot more about this in the April meeting. Oh, sorry. Do you have a question, Mary?
I do, but finish one.
Okay, so we'll bring a paper about this in the April meeting, where we'll set out the topics that we're proposing to cover as part of that meeting and get a sense from you whether you agree with that scope. The ultimate aim is to produce a series of, I suppose, discussion papers on areas where we see there are issues at the moment or problems being raised, and the result of that may be a discussion paper at the end of 2015, effectively collating the board's views on those particular topics. Mary.
Going back to your what bullet here and drawing on FSP, I think, first of all, in connection with the conceptual framework, certainly we've had a number of respondents commenting that we should restart our FSP project, which is one point. Second, I think there is a lot of work that was done and thought that was put into that FSP project that is useful thinking about disclosure and disclosure objectives, but I could see us taking it forward in two ways. The FSP project was more ambitious and ultimately hit some roadblocks because it was trying to rethink the fundamental structure of financial statements in terms of how things were grouped in the coherence principle, etc. If we were to take that forward in this, it could become a very major project. On the other hand, if and I'm not averse to that, but that's a major agenda decision, as opposed to saying what learning points or simpler principles, you know, in terms of disclosure objectives, did we maybe learn about the linkage of presentation and disclosure in FSP that we'd apply in the context of the current presentation of financial statements? So, you know, and that's more a harvesting, you know, of learning points. And, well, I think the more ambitious restarting FSP, even if we reconsider some of those conclusions, is a major agenda decision. The other might be less significant. I think we should, and maybe it would only come out of either the April paper or the follow-up research, which of those two branches. But I think we should be clear in our communications that talking about looking for some learnings from the FSP isn't automatically incorporating all of the ideas from that.
I've heard that concern raised. We brought a paper on the scope of this project to the ASAP, and a similar concern was raised, and that's been heard internally as well. I think what we're proposing to do in April, so that we can get a sense of maybe what aspects of the FSP we would be considering bringing into this project and what we wouldn't, and also what was decided and what were the end, the end position that we ended up in the FSP. So in April we're proposing to bring an education session on the FSP, so what was the final position, what we learned, what was good, what wasn't. And then also as part of our paper to really set out what we think, what aspects of that would be brought into this project. And I think it's at that point then we can have the broader discussion of whether that's like something that this board thinks is the appropriate scope.
I have five questions. First one, you know, disclosure can be defined narrowly and broadly. Mm-hmm. And here, obviously, you try to use a broader view version. I would rather prefer, you know, if you want to, you know, reopen 178, I would prefer specified, you know, presentation and disclosure. Otherwise, people may confuse the scope of the project. This is my first. Second one, I would not be against to have education session on what we already achieved on financial statement presentation project. But I would not support to use a starting point. The reason is, you know, it is so controversial. And Yang and I intend to dissent. We already wrote our dissent opinion on the two basic principles. And finally, David decided, you know, the whole board decided to suspend project. And secondly, the previous project is a joint project with FSB. Mm-hmm. This is our own project if we want to have. So have education session on anything I'm against. I have no problem. If we say that, you know, as a starting point, I will not agree. And certainly, I'm not so clear the line, maybe Alan will give us, between research project and the other side. You know, you said you were planned to have a DP by the end, in 15. I will feel, you know, DP is part of the not research project. You know, have to start with agenda consultation and decide and arrive at the DP as a formal standard setting project rather than a research project. I'm not so clear. So let me finish all four questions, five questions. Please, you know, make let us clear. And fourth question is about the timing. You know, the conceptual framework, where our planning is to finish our conceptual framework. I see next year,
after 2015.
End of next year.
End of next year. And at the same time, you know, we intend to publish a DP. My feeling is whether it is too rush. You know, at least I think 1 year later will be much more appropriate, because this means we iron the conceptual framework principles on disclosure firmly. You know, we finalize the conceptual framework. And it will be not appropriate, you know, they are linked together, but not appropriate before we finalize the conceptual framework. You know, we at the same time publish a DP on a disclosure or presentation together. I would not feel appropriate. Delay 1 year will be, for me, will feel much comfort. And the last question is, I'm not sure the relationship between the project on page 7 and page 8. You have another project, you know, the relationship between them are not clear for me. So five questions.
Okay, so I've forgotten what your first. You have to remind me on your first one.
Your first was an observation.
Thank you. Okay. So, in terms of. I suppose a request not to make the FSP as the starting point of this project. And I wouldn't see the FSP is the starting point. The FSP plus amount of work that people have done on disclosure frameworks and the messages we've heard around disclosures broadly, plus I think some of the work that's been done in the conceptual framework already, are all part of what could be a starting point. And I wouldn't expect this project to take, I don't know, for example, the staff draft of the FSP and try and rework it and add bits of disclosure. That's not what we're thinking about. What I think we ultimately think is that presentation and disclosure are very closely linked. They interrelate, and it's very difficult to determine when one starts and where it finishes in terms of an individual's financial statements. But we need to sort of look at those together to work out what might make a difference in terms of disclosures. And I think most of the work that's previously been done about disclosures has put presentation in one box and disclosure in another box. And I think that we have heard messages that some of the work or the frameworks that that deal with just the disclosures do little more than to give some guidance which people don't think really changes behaviour. And we think that actually if we look at it more holistically about the information combining presentation and disclosure together, we might maybe be able to make something a bit more different which might actually result in some change.
So, Christine, we keep on referring to this financial presentation project also in the context of the conceptual framework and possible follow-ups. When comes the time that we have to take a decision on this? Would it also be helping you with this, all these disclosure initiatives, that we at a certain point decide we are going to reopen the financial presentation project? Or
because
I'm getting confused there. I mean, it's up in the air all the time.
And I think, as a board, we need to be clear what we mean by reopen the financial presentation project. If you want to start a project just on the financial statement presentation, perhaps along the lines of the project that was done before, then my recommendation would be that you have to sort of put aside any work on disclosures until you get that done. So you'd have your presentation being done, project being done, your conceptual framework being done, and we sort of sit somewhere in the middle. But I actually think we sit somewhere more as an amalgam of the presentation and disclosure. So in terms of answering your question, I think you need to be clear what you mean by reopening the FSP project. What we want to do in April is to really set forth what we think that will be, what we would like to take from it. If that's not what our constituents or your perception of what the reopening of that project is, then maybe there's a gap and we need to think how we cover that. I do think there is a question, though, about performance reporting, and that is slightly more specific than financial statement presentation broadly.
I'm still not clear after this.
Does
this mean in April you're going to come up with a recommendation as to what aspects of the financial presentation proposals, semi-proposals that we had to bring forward in relating to disclosures?
So we would set out what we would expect from the we would look at the FSP, and what we would hope to do is to set out what aspects of that we would like to cover as part of this project. And therefore, it would then be a determination of whether that is going to be.
But I also heard you say just now, if you guys want to restart the financial presentation project, even if it's not complete, even if we don't take all the decisions that have been taken as a starting point, then we would really have to wait with the disclosure first.
I think there's a decision to be made. Do you want to have a discrete financial statement presentation project?
Yes.
That's
in
the
itself,
course of in itself. It's very similar to what was done previously in terms of a context of a project. That's similar to what the FASB is doing at the moment. If that's the approach that you want to take, then I think we need to consider the impacts on the work that we're doing on disclosure, because I think we sort of sit somewhere between the conceptual framework and this discrete notion of an FSP project. We think there are aspects of what we have historically thought of as a discrete FSP project which could be brought into this disclosure project, and I think would make the discussion about disclosures perhaps more fruitful, and we might get to perhaps something that changes the seeks to address some of the problems we're hearing about disclosures. Now, that may not cover some other aspects of what would have been a discrete FSP project, and we may need to consider whether we need to do other work to specifically address that, or whether you want to do a discrete FSP project.
So it sounds like in April, maybe, Christy, one thing that would be helpful so the board understands what the interaction is when you come forward with your recommendations on what you might take in as part of the disclosure initiative, your POD. What does that then mean, if anything, for the broader financial statement presentation project, and then we'll be clear what's being done where?
Stephen?
I mean, I think that it's impossible to do one without the other. We started off, FSP started off as performance reporting, the format of the income statement, OCI. soon became apparent that it's difficult to do that without thinking about the other primary statements, and then it soon expanded into the notes and certain key disclosures as well. It wasn't principles of disclosure, but there were disclosure knock-ons to that. And it went through that life cycle, and we ended up getting a long, long way. I mean, we had a draft ED, you know, ready to go. And I think I'm happy not to start with the draft ED, which to my mind then means issuing that thing as an ED. I'm happy to re-deliberate the thing, but I would remind everybody that there was a lot of support for many aspects of FSB. There were certain controversial aspects as well, like the direct method cash flow, some of the roll forward disclosures that people thought were excessive. There was also enormous user support for it, particularly some of the changes to presentation and the additional disclosures. I think FSB came top of the list, certainly of the user feedback to the agenda consultation, maybe the whole feedback from the agenda consultation. I don't know, I can't remember the statistics. So we shouldn't, I mean, I'd be very happy if this goes straight on the agenda. I think doing research is fine, but the research agenda is to do research to see whether we need to put it on the agenda. I think it's quite clear this has to go on the agenda.
But just on that, I thought the other piece of research was to define the problem, identify possible solutions, and kind of key pressure points in those possible solutions, so that all of those factors were considered when deciding whether or not to add something to the agenda, so that I think even given the board's previous experience with FSP, it would be useful to have all those elements.
I don't disagree, but I don't necessarily think we need to go to a discussion paper first. We've had a discussion paper. We have drafted an ED. We've had various other bodies produce research reports on disclosure frameworks and the like. Maybe we do need a discussion paper. Maybe we don't. So I think we certainly need to start off with maybe more than one education session on what we have done previously in FSB. I mean, we last discussed it in 2009 or 10. So education on that, I think, is really important to start with. And then perhaps we can see where we go from there. Combining that with the additional work that you've been doing on the disclosure initiative.
And as I said, we were planning to do an education session on the FSP and bring back and highlight as part of that not only where our end position, but as you say, the messages we heard, because actually my understanding was that there was support for various proposals, but there was concern about others, and often when you have a conversation about the FSP, it sounds like there was concern about most of the proposals, and I'm not necessarily sure that's a fair reflection. So I think, as I said, the ed session is something we were planning to do, and a lot of this discussion, I think, will hopefully come out when we bring that paper in April.
Well, all I want to be sure of is that instead of this just sitting there above the market, that at a certain point we take a decision about this project. It's also in terms of the conceptual framework, it is also likely that some of the more difficult questions that we might want to park that for the FSP project as well. So I just want to make sure that everything is coordinated well and that we make a clear decision at a certain point in time instead of just referring to it all the time. Martin?
Also on this point, because I'm really not so convinced that it is so really interrelated, this financial statement project with disclosure, because what I heard from the 2011 agenda consultation, that was disclosure was one of the main things where people wanted should be addressed. And if I look at this project here, and even if that is a discussion paper then in 2015, so what do we have a solution then for the disclosure problem maybe then in 2020 or whatever? So maybe it is related, but I think it is not so interrelated that we cannot do more regarding disclosure. And also linkage between this first project on
materiality, and especially materiality in disclosure, because I'm personally be convinced that what we have to do in each and any standard, we have to say what is really the objective. It is not this high level, we want to give a good picture of future cash flows, blah, blah, blah. It would really what we want to be addressed in the disclosure. And if we have a clear objective in each standard, what the objective of this disclosure is, then people can apply materiality, and then we can really do something about disclosure. But if we now go through all the things of presentation and how all this fits together, I think we will not address what people have asked us in the 2011 agenda consolidation, because it will take years. And I think the problems which people have identified will not be addressed in the next 10 years.
Okay, go on.
I can wrap up. I've got the rest of your questions, Wagwo, as well. I've heard every bit of this before. Every time we say financial statement presentation, people get scared. I've got the scars that I remember as well. So I think when we say that it's the starting point, the starting point is to open the box and find out what we learned, not to pick it up and run with it. So we've got to be very careful with our language. And I suspect exaggerate this a little bit, but it's mainly users would want us to do a lot more. Preparers are very, very cautious about this because they're worried about the costs that our last project was potentially imposing. I think the biggest thing is that we've got to work out what we mean by financial statement presentation, because I don't know, I hear it a lot, people say we need an FSP project. I'm not quite sure what they mean, and I think for some people it's mainly performance reporting and the relationship with OCI and things like that, which is really at the core of what we did last time. But because there are some aspects where, and I hate to use the word cohesiveness, but there's some aspects about consistency between the cash flows and the operating, and actually reconciling cash from operations with the operating flows on the income statement that people thought would just, in a practical sense, is very helpful. So there are some things that we have learned, we think that we can pull out of the box to have a look at. But we actually need to, the first thing is, as Christy says, is educate everybody, because only probably half the people around here were at the table at the time, and it's a good, just remind ourselves what we learned, what people didn't like, what they did like, and so on. I'm a bit worried about this thing called research, and coming back to your point, Steve, about a DP, etc. I think we still haven't transitioned properly from the old school of thought that says you go through and you put a project on the agenda, and then you do a DP, then you do an ED, then you do a standard, or an ED, then an ED, then an ED, then a standard. So you're on the treadmill at the very early part of it. Is the idea is supposed to be that we actually work out what the best solution is. And so rather than thinking about a DP as being, well, do you think we should do this or do that, you might actually set out a position paper that says, we think here's the problem, and we think this is the most cost-beneficial solution. And then, in a sense, it's almost just handed over for the final drafting of the standard. And that's when you go into the ED and the final. So I think we have to be a bit more innovative about this, because on the one hand, I get people who get very worried that we're racing to do things without going through good thinking processes. I tell you what, every time I say research, people think we're just chucking that into the long grass and we're going to spend 5 years sort of thinking about it and not get any action at all. And so there are quite a few people in Europe, and we said that materiality is on the research phase. They said, well, nothing's going to happen for 5 years. Well, we're hopeful, as to Martin's point, is that we get the materiality paper out in the middle of this year. That will actually give us exactly the right action points to start building into the writing of standards, and potentially some standard setting changes as a result of that. So we're just going to have to see how that evolves. And the relationship, last thing was the relationship between IS 17 and 8. 17 and 8 is, you think about it, as the general structure for an income statement, cash flow statement, and balance sheet. And then the rest of it is sweeping through to look at all the specific disclosure requirements we have in other standards and seeing whether we need to make some amendments in light of what we've learned about the general disclosure principles. But the hardest thing is that, you know, I think. Was it? No, actually, Wagwo, I think you said we should limit it to presentation and disclosure and not do FSP, but...
No, think about the words. My first comment is, you know, traditionally we use presentation and disclosure meaning differently, but in the conceptual flow, I agree. You know, you have a narrow definition of disclosure, and the broad definition of disclosure, which include presentation. But I personally prefer, if we do want to cut both, you know, unless we specify. Otherwise, I would prefer presentation disclosure, both of them will be there. My key concern about this one is, you know, whether we should have agenda consultation, then have this project. This is the key, you know, because after last consultation process, you decide something on the list. You know, I don't think you know, without any, you know, the agenda consultation, we just, you start with such a big project. As a research project, I have no problem.
This we asked about it last time.
Well, I think, Stephen, I've got the feedback statement here. And I think as part of our education session, rather than debating it all here, it would be useful to have a look at that statement and to go through what was set out, which did include some stuff on financial statement presentation. Not that it was said in those words, I don't think. And also the process, which Alan has been, there's a very good diagram in that document on what our process is supposed to be and why we would do a discussion paper before we put something on the agenda rather than after, which is the change in process that we've implemented. But I think that should be part of the education session as well, so we get a context.
Yeah, but re-emphasising, we don't always have preliminary views discussion papers. I think we probably have to think about getting much closer to a solution in that phase, so that you know you're then just going to drafting and hopefully finalisation.
We do have to issue an exposure draft, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I didn't say, I didn't say go straight to final.
Just so I can make sure I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But you mean closer to the final solution rather than more explored.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't want to pick on, say, I should pick revenue as an example rather than say leases, but, you know, you have a clear leases model at the DP phase, and then once everybody's, if you've agreed to that, then you go on and everything after that's just drafting. So that's...
It'll be a bit more than drafting.
Oh, yeah. It's bound to be, but you aim for the ideal, and then you have to deal with realities after that.
And I still not answer my concern. My concern is, you know, whether we should have this project after next agenda consultation, or we automatically have this project.
Well, that's right. Okay. And that's what we should decide after we've had the education session.
It seems not clear for me.
Very, very quickly on that, the two things. With the timing anyway, our agenda consultation is 2015. And I still don't know what an FSP project is, but think about disclosure. If we actually have a subtotal, which is actually a presentation, are we not allowed to do that within the disclosure principles? Because that's really what half a presentation is putting a subtotal in. So we don't want to be limited to the point where we can't touch anything in the income statement, because that's deemed to be part of that special box.
Okay.
Quickly go through the last two slides of the presentation. So the last one is the research project about reviewing existing standards, and our view is that really, once we've got further on the principles of disclosure and have a framework at the IS1 level, that's the point where we re-look at the specific disclosure requirements. I think in the interim there is some work we could do about consistency of language, but I think ultimately this is going to sort of wait for a bit until we've get further down the track on of disclosure. And then in the last page, I've just got a draft timeline of the work we've done and where we see things going in 2014. There is a typo there. The IFRS for amendments to IS1, I think, will be Q4, not Q3.
Slide 8. Is the what dependent upon the time bullet? Because reviewing existing disclosures to identify redundancies, conflicts, and duplication seems like that could be done now.
And I think that's a good point. And I think there's some things, actually, we were speaking with, again, the IFRS taxonomy team, and actually using our taxonomy, which is, in effect, a list of all our disclosures, and seeing if there's some work we can do about analysing some of the ones that we currently have. I also think if we had filings, we could also maybe do some analysis about any redundancies in terms of the use of certain disclosures as well. So yes, I do take your point that perhaps there are some aspects of of, I don't know, an analysis of current disclosures that we could undertake.
I mean, to Martin's point, showing some action on perceived problems with the disclosure may not be a bad thing, even if we're not doing it holistically. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, maybe that disrupts the timetable and makes it more complicated.
maybe just the same point. I think Steve has, and Martin has mentioned a very important thing. What I've heard recently from some security regulation is one very practical aspect on their view, and it's identified in one of the next papers, is the wording that we use in many standard at a minimum, as a minimum. So some regulators think that this sort of wording actually doesn't help. Yes. When it comes to the overload of disclosure as expressed. So I think it's a sort of practical issue that can be identified easily.
I'm not sure how we could identify them. I think how to resolve them needs quite
a... I'm saying identify. Resolve is the second phase, right? Because sometimes there is no problem.
I think, and we'll go into a bit with materiality, but we also use different words, I think, that might be trying to describe the importance of something, so important, significant, very significant. And so I think there's sometimes our language is not as concise as it should be.
Sure. But on that specific example that Amara raised, we're trying to address that in the IS1 amendments we're about to publish, yes? That talks about the fact that even if it says at a minimum, that you still take into account materiality.
Yes, and we're trying to emphasise that you should override that as a minimum with the concept of materiality, and that's always been in existence. But we recognise that some people still have the problem. It does raise the question of why that wording is there in the first place, but then there may be some reasoning behind that wording. Yeah.
Okay.